This morning, you see the title for the message. You notice it doesn't say relationships in life. And there is a reason for that. The word for being in there instead of in. 2 weeks ago, I shared on dedicated for life. And if you remember, I brought up how we can look at life, that word life, as being two different meanings in that setting. And this morning again, as we look at relationships for life, as we're here on this earth, relationships are very important. They're more important than just what we have on this earth, and then it's over with. If you have bad relationships here, so be it. But it also has heavenly consequences or connotations. This week, we traveled, Diane and I traveled 600 miles, 600 and something miles, up to Ohio, kind of a real quick trip for a funeral. We returned home. We decided to head to Anderson to do just a little bit of shopping before we go to the house, so we didn't have to make a trip yesterday. I was walking in front of a shopping center area, and I heard a voice. I heard my name. And I look and hear, who is it but Becky and little Maxwell coming towards me in front of a shopping mall, Bath and Body, I think, where I was walking. In that little time of 5 minute span, I had opportunity to take that little life and to hold him. What did I deserve to have a privilege like that for such a time as that was? Maybe for some of you that are younger, you don't understand. But we had just come back from a funeral of a 40-year-old man who had been having some breathing asthma problems and so on. But he was born out of an illegitimate relationship. At the age of 40, he had his second wife for 10 years. He had three children with his first wife. With his second wife, he had no children, but she had one daughter from a previous marriage. His mother had married this man who passed away. His mother had married someone else who was not his biological father. And for the past 12 years, had been in an adulterous relationship even with someone else. And now is in the process of getting a divorce so she could marry this other person who I am understanding is a preacher. The man who was the biological father of this man named Richard had never met these three grandchildren of his. They were actually his blood children, grandchildren. Had never met them. And the oldest one was probably somewhere around 12, 14 years old. But through the whole time of Richard being in the hospital for, it was about, I think, a week span, there's a lot of things that happened. There was a lot of relationships that were mended. But Richard had not seen his three children for the last 6 years. Why am I saying all of these things? I'm saying them simply because we need to sit up and take notice. Us as fathers, I think especially. I was going to go into Ephesians chapter 5 today, and I'm not going to do that. But I do want to just bring that to your attention. And that is Ephesians 5. The first verse says that wives are supposed to submit to their husbands. And in the following verse says that husbands are supposed to love their wives. There's something to that, brothers and sisters. There's some lots of wisdom in those words, both for the wife and both for the husband also. But how long will you go? How long will you allow life to continue on as it's been because of things from your past? Then also, even in coming down closer to my own family, I was also made aware of issues that are going on to where there was a disruption in relationship between husband and wife. So once the children were at an age where they could take care of themselves, the wife decides she can't take it no more. She's leaving. She was with another man, ended up marrying this other man. The husband marries another woman. But the children from this marriage, from this original marriage, really want nothing to do with either one of the other spouse, of the second spouses. So I was thinking all of these thoughts. Can we say, why does God allow these things to happen? I don't know if that's the right way to ask it. We discussed it in Sunday school this morning about Naomi and her daughters-in-law. And could God's will have been worked out if the situation there would have been different? Yeah, it would have. But how does God work and orchestrate His plan with the idea that He's dealing with fallen man? God is God, and He makes things happen even in spite of who we are. But how long are people willing to allow broken relationships? How long are people willing to allow fragmented marriages to continue on before they stop and they look and they listen? And they say, from here on, we're going to make a difference. From this time forward, we can't change what's in the past, but we're going to go forward and we're going to seek out God and His will. But what are you doing this morning in your relationships? Are there relationships in your life that aren't the way you would like them to be? But what are you doing with them? You can't go and change the other person or the other persons. But all you can do is change yourself. What am I willing to sacrifice for the good of even my future generations that are coming behind me? And I say this to the young people, to those of you who are not married and you think you're not even close to being married. Be careful in your relationships. Be careful in what you allow yourself to do. Because the things we do, they do have consequences. How willing am I to live a selfless life? Relationships for life. I want to look in Luke chapter 9, just a couple verses there this morning. Luke chapter 9, verse 23 and 24. And this is Jesus
speaking.
And I call this God's three-step plan. Luke 9, verse 23 says, "Then he said to them all, 'If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will save it.'" Today we hear so much of what you need to do in order to gain heaven. Today we hear what we call the simple plan of salvation. And I'm here to tell you this morning that the plan of salvation is simple. It's very simple. It's very clear. It's very plain. But I think what I see in air this morning from many times, maybe from the pulpits, is that if you come and you confess, no, if you come and you ask God to forgive you of your sins, that He will cleanse you and He will give you a home in heaven. And you know, that's wrong theology. I think you'd have a hard time finding Scripture to tell you that, to give you any assurance of salvation. What's left out, that's all good, but what's left out of that is the fact of you coming and repenting. That you fall on your face before God, as it were, and you acknowledge your sinfulness, your unrighteousness, the awfulness of who you are in and of yourself. And you repent and you renounce and you turn from the way you were going and you go 180 degrees the other direction. Now when you do that, my Bible tells me that God will forgive you your sins. But for you to believe that simply you asking God to forgive you of your sins without you being willing to repent, I don't see a lot of hope for salvation in that message. But today, we hear that over and over and over again, that if you will just ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins, and what happens? You continue on going the same direction you've been going, except now I'm free. There's nothing that can happen to me, because I asked Jesus to forgive me of my sins. And I think we need to be careful when we present the salvation message. So in Luke 9, verse 23, he says, "If anyone wants to come after me, he must deny himself." That's the first thing. You have to do away with even the very things that you would like to have and the very things that you would like to do. And it says here, he must take up his cross. And in Luke, it says, the word daily is in there. To take up the cross of Jesus Christ daily. To carry the banner of the cross daily. To be willing daily to tell others. To be willing daily to live out your life in such a way that others can look at you and they can see that there's something different going on inside of you. And then, the third one is to follow Jesus. And today, the message goes out, would you like to follow Jesus? You can do that. All you have to do is to ask Him to forgive you of your sins. You've missed two steps. We must deny ourselves. We must take up His cross. We must follow Him. And when it comes to denying yourself, that sounds okay on a Sunday morning. But you know, we're not real good at working that out in everyday shoe leather, are we? Because that old self wants to rise up. That old self wants to come up and take charge. When there's things that happen in my life that I don't think are fair, I want to react to that. I want to have justice to be served when I'm wronged. when I deny myself, I give up all my rights. Is that not so? And then take up the cross of Jesus daily. What rights, brothers and sisters, did they have to take and make my Jesus to carry that cross to Calvary? They had absolutely no right to do that. But he denied himself. He gave up all of his own rights. The godly life is a life of sacrifice. The godly life is a life of self-denial. It's a life of faith in believing that God will do exactly what he said he will do if he promised that in his word he's going to do it. And it's not up to you and it's not up to me to figure out how that's going to get done, except for the fact that I need to submit myself to his plan. That if I know his word says it, that I'm willing to do it. You know, as Steve was sharing last weekend, do we understand everything about the veiling? No, I don't think we do. But does that make us have any right or have any privilege of not doing something that Scripture says? And how often do we miss out on blessings that are in God's Word simply because we don't understand exactly what it means, so we just don't do it? How willing are you? How ready are you tomorrow morning as you face your day to say, Lord, I am giving up of myself. I'm even giving up of my own time if it needs to be for the good of someone else or for the cross or for the honor and glory of Jesus Christ. I'm going to read this morning a couple verses in Joshua 24. But before I go to that one, I just want to read a little bit in the chapter previous to that, in Joshua 23. And it's talking about where Joshua was already an old man. And you know, in the Old Testament, we say, well, we're living under the new covenant. But there's so much that we can look in the Old Testament and we can learn. Because that same God that required all those animal sacrifices and all those rituals and all those things they had to do day after day and week after week, that is the same God, brothers and sisters, that we serve today. That same God is the jealous God. He demands exact obedience from His people. And somehow we've made God into someone who is just this warm, soft, fuzzy teddy bear that understands my weaknesses and understands my faults, and he's willing to even overlook them. And believe me, I think he does. But we have to understand that our God is a jealous God. Well, anyhow, Joshua is saying here, reminding them of the things that happened, and then just, I want to just read a couple of the words here, not near all the verses here. In verse 3, the last part, it says, it was the Lord your God who fought for you. Then in verse 4, he says, remember how I have allotted an inheritance for your tribes. Then he goes on to say, the nations I conquered. Then in verse 5, he says, the Lord your God himself will drive them out of your way. He will push them out before you, and you will take possession of their land as the Lord your God promised you. What is it that the children of Israel had done here to deserve any of what God was doing? Not one thing. And I think God was wanting to make it clear to them that they understood and that they knew that this is nothing that you could have done on your own. And it for sure was nothing that you did on your own. But then in verse 6 it says, be very strong, be careful to obey all that is written in the book of the law of Moses without turning aside to the right or to the left. Do you think these people understood everything that was in the book of the law of Moses? I don't think so. But I think they did understand and they did know that it was very important for them to obey to the very last detail what God was telling them. Then he goes on and tells them some of the things they shouldn't do. But then on verse 11 it says, so be very careful to love the Lord your God. How careful are you this morning? How much thought have you given to being careful as to how you love the Lord your God? Has that come across your mind today? Has it come across your mind yesterday or last week? When you're in your car, when you're stopping at the gas station, when you're pumping gas, is it in your mind to think of how I can love the Lord my God with all my heart? And even the simple act of putting gas in the car. But here's where we see what God says. Even of all the promises that He has, these also are promises that He had. Verse 12, He says, but if you turn away and ally yourselves with the survivors of these nations that remain among you, and if you intermarry with them and associate with them, you may be sure that the Lord your God will no longer drive out these nations before you. Instead, they will become snares and traps for you, whips on your backs and thorns in your eyes until you perish from this good land which the Lord your God has given you. Again, God's promises are very secure. God's promises are there for us. God's promises are there for us, whether they're for our good or for our destruction. God is a God who will not change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Then let's look on down in Joshua chapter 24. Just want to read in several verses there, verses 14 and 15. Josh is telling him now, now fear the Lord and serve Him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your forefathers worshipped beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord. So you notice he's telling them they got to do one thing before they can even serve the Lord. And that is they've got to get rid of all the junk. They've got to get rid of all the garbage. It says, and then serve the Lord. Are there things this morning in your life? Is there garbage that you're holding in your life? But that you've claimed the promise that God will forgive your sins. God will cleanse you. God will keep you. But you're not willing to turn loose of the trash. You're not willing to let go. You're not willing to forgive someone that maybe hurt you or that you think hurt you. I think these same verses would apply to us today. There's no way that we can serve the Lord our God if we are holding that in. Then he goes on to verse 15, very familiar verse to earth. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. And then Joshua goes on to say, but as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. It's decision time, brothers and sisters. I think again, God would tell us right here, right now, even in this day, even in this time, you don't have to serve me. You don't have to honor me. You don't have to devote your whole life to me. But I think He would hasten on and tell us that I will not allow you to have a part of me. I will not allow just a part of you to be a part of me. Unless you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, God will not have any part with you. And so he's saying here in Joshua, he's telling the people, if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, if serving the Lord seems like something you don't really want to do, if serving the Lord seems harder than what you think you can handle, then just stop. Just hold everything, put everything on the back burner, and it's decision time. Decide whether you want to serve your God or you want to serve yourself. And I think today is lots of people we have in this world, they would do a lot better in this life if they would just go on and decide, I'm just going to live for myself. If they would just come out and say it. Because as it is, their life is a miserable ruin. And as it is, they don't have any assurance of salvation except they think that they're doing some of these things, and that might appease God. But I fear for those people. And I think God would tell us that if you want to serve money, if you want to serve your job, if you want to serve whatever else it is that would get a grip on you, then go ahead. Don't make your life miserable by trying to ride both sides of the fence. But Joshua made it clear. He says, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Then drop on down to verse 19. Joshua said to the people, you are not able to serve the Lord. He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your rebellion and your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, He will turn and bring disaster on you and make an end of you after He has been good to you. So does our God change? No. And if we could take the time to look back in Deuteronomy, it says, you do this and this, I will do this. You do this and this, I will do this. God is very deliberate in what He tells His people. He's very clear on what He tells His people. And He's very right and very prompt in keeping His promises, whether they're for your destruction or whether they're for your good. Well, Joshua had told the people and warned them of all these things. And then verse 21, but the people said to Joshua, no, we will serve the Lord. Then Joshua said, you are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen to serve the Lord. Yes, we are witnesses, they replied. And I think at that point, when they decided that we'll serve the Lord, and they verbalized that, we will serve the Lord, God took them serious. And it's better not to vow than to vow and to not keep it. God takes vows that we make serious. Verse 23, now then, said Joshua, throw away the foreign gods that are among you and yield your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel. You notice again, he told them to throw away the foreign gods and then yield their hearts to the Lord. There's no way that they could have served him if they had still kept those gods in the camp. God would have had no part of them. And the people said to Joshua, we will serve the Lord our God and obey Him. How are you in your relationships this morning? How are you in your relationships with the people around you? How are you in relationships with the people that you work with? Are there things that you hold that you won't turn loose of? Except if this person does this, this, and this. How much pride do you have? And how many times is it that pride within us that doesn't allow us to just let go and to let God? But what happens then is time continues to go on and on and on. And I think that it's just too much to stop and to retrace my steps and to make things right and to go forward from here because it looks too hopeless. But Satan wants you to think that. But I can guarantee you, when you don't take care of issues the way they are right now, you can fast forward, say, 5 years, and you can look back and you're just like, why didn't I do it 5 years ago? Because it would have been so easy compared to where I'm at now. But pride keeps us from making decisions that we know God wants us to make. And consequently, as we go on through life, not only am I affected, not only is maybe my wife affected, but I have children. And those same attitudes, that same spirit goes right into my children. And now, is it not just me? And now, is it not just my wife? But we're, as we have children, as we have families, it multiplies. And it really seems right to our children to have that kind of an attitude because, well, Mom and Dad had it, and they were Christian people. What are you willing to give up this morning for the future generations? For the future children that will be after you? What are you willing to do this morning to make a difference in life? What are you doing this morning to make a difference in relationships? Are you willing to trust God completely? Even when He doesn't make sense. Even when it seems that when these awful things happen, that God could have done something to avert that. Are you holding God to account? And if you are, then you have not totally surrendered. Because God does not need to explain Himself to us. Can you let go of the past? Can you let go of those that have failed you? Even with all the good-sounding excuses that you might have, and the ways that you think you're justified, are you willing to turn loose and to let God? If you don't, your life on this earth will not be happy. But that's just the real small part of the equation. Eternity is not something that you can look forward to. Are you willing to let go? Shall we stand for closing prayer? Our Father in heaven, this morning, we thank you that you have given us this roadmap, your word. Lord, would you help us? That as we read, as we study, that we apply these truths to our own lives. Lord, I pray this morning that you would help us as we continue on from day to day in relationships, that we would check our lives and that we would, first of all, totally sell out to you, and that we would make that our relationships that we have with others are in tune with you. Lord, I pray your blessing upon each one that was here this morning. Would you help us as we go throughout this week to serve you wholeheartedly, unreservedly, with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Father, this morning also yet we pray for Tommy, wherever he is right now, over in Africa. Lord, I pray that you would be with him and Marvin and Paul. God, I pray that you would make their ministry fruitful, that it would reap eternal rewards for your kingdom. And God, I just pray right now, even at this hour, your hedge of protection, your angels to surround each one of these men. Would you protect them and keep them, Father? Help them, Father, to be bold for you. Dismiss us as we leave from here for your honor and glory. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Y'all are dismissed.